Welcome to Astronomica, a podcast about clean living, clean laughing, and clean loving here in the time after the rapture. Gentle beings, how do you folks feel about being left behind?
Feels great, Gene.
Yeah, I've got no complaints so far.
I now have every dog.
Oh, dude.
It's just me and my vast suburban compound full of previously neglected dogs who are now living their best life.
You know, the weird thing is you would have thought
even occur to me.
All the dogs would have got raptured, but they didn't. It makes you think.
I hear all dogs go to heaven. That is atheist propaganda. Dogs, in fact, according to my Baptist youth minister, when I was 15 and my dog died, dogs don't have souls, so they don't go to heaven.
You know what's great about Catholics?
They're in limbo with all the babies.
That's the one. No, there's a Saints Day every year. Mm-hmm. We bring all your pets to get blessed.
Mm-hmm. And baptized. You can get your pets baptized.
It's the only day you should ever go to Catholic Mass, because if it is, especially if it's in a small community church, people will literally bring any animal.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of amazing. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of the year, fuck them.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's St. Francis of Assisi. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one the Pope's named after.
Yeah. I did get raptured.
Yeah? What was it like?
I met St. Peter.
Yeah.
And I told him, bring that sumbitch out here. And then a couple of big guys, I think one of them was John the Baptist, that kind of manhandled me a little bit.
Now you're back.
You can't hide behind them pearly gates forever.
Now you're back, and there are two among us who witnessed the blessed event themselves.
Mm. Yeah, we did.
Totality.
Three.
Three. Oh, that's right. You also traveled. Mm-hmm. Mm. Jeff is also here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes, that is my. That is what I want on my headstone.
Jeff is also here.
Jeff is also here.
Was also here.
Me and Colin ended up at the Atlas Obscura Ecliptic Festival in Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Nice.
That sounds pretty cool.
It was great.
It was great.
Where we saw freaking Sun Ra Orchestra play right after the totality. And before that was Quintron and the Weather Warlock.
Yeah.
Which is, so Quintron is a musician from New Orleans. And also, he used to be a middle school science teacher, but I don't know if he still does that.
I don't know either.
But he is a electronics genius, and he has created this instrument where he uses inputs from his weather station, like wind speed,
barometric pressure,
the whole nine yards, plus light, like various light sensors. And in this case, he also had something added to that setup that was called the wildlife chorus, I think, where he had like a dozen or so really high quality wireless mics spread out around in the forest.
Yeah.
And so was mixing in the sounds of the wildlife and also the campers who were hanging out there and talking, because there were several thousand people there.
That kind of makes me wonder if my parents were among those campers. I know there were somewhere in the area.
And mixed it all together. He takes all that input and puts it through a series of analog synthesizers of his own design.
Yeah.
And out comes incredible fucking music.
It's really fucking interesting. And, you know, my pardon to everyone other than Chris, because you've all heard this because I said it already. Well, actually, Jeff might not have heard it. But I went into this with kind of low expectations. We're going to go to Hot Springs and we're going to watch the eclipse there because there's totality. And I was like, well, I'm not really doing anything that day. So sure. And it was actually a fucking singular experience. It was really cool. And Quintron's Weather Warlock added to it. And I described again this to them already, but the thing that he had detecting light, he had on this kind of modulator. So as the light faded, it started out with this chug, 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 chug. And as the light faded, it would go chug, 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 chug. And so by this point, we all have our safety goggles out and we're staring at the eclipse as it happens. And we're watching it as it inches over the seconds towards totality, and the synthesizer, the modulator is going chug, 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 chug. And then at the minute it achieved totality, it was like chug, and it was just like fucking wild, and it was really cool.
That's awesome.
Amazing. Yeah, it was really, really
cool.
That's
what I sounded like too when I achieved totality.
Oh yeah.
I don't I don't want to belittle you guys' musical experience, but I was not too far away in Lake Catherine State Park, and there was someone who was spiritual but not religious with a Tibetan singing bowl.
So, I'm kind of into that. I'm actually kind of into that.
I actually like the vibe because there...
Jeff and your relentless one-upsmanship. I'm tired of you and your nonsense.
I had brought... So I made a homemade sun viewer by basically taking... the lenses, what you could use to make a telescope, but reversing them, and then clamping them to a frame. So it made a projected image of the sun that's about 15 centimeters across. So you could actually even see sunspots on it. It was kind of neat.
That's cool.
And so because I had this, like, obviously very janky home-built science, it was very Mackie-esque, quasi-scientific apparatus, like everyone was coming over. So... the spiritual but not religious person was telling me all about their crystals that they were charging during the eclipse, which I know I might give off the vibe that I am very disdainful of that, but I actually love hearing someone just go into depth about their, like, interest, you know?
Sure.
So, sure, tell me all about your, like, olivine and labradorite and, like, how they're, you know, affected.
And you're a extremely scientifically literate person, but you're also not a piece of shit, which is...
Well, thank you.
Yeah, well, you know, ask anyone. That's what I always say. That Jeff. Not a complete piece of shit.
So, thank you for the caveat.
Really? Not a complete piece of shit. If anything, he's, like, you know, half a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. Like, one of those little, like, you know... You know what I'm putting out there.
I think that's called a dingleberry.
Yeah, he's a dingleberry.
I'd rather be a complete piece of shit.
No, you're not. Sorry.
But it was kind of neat because there was this really...
I'm taking that spot because I actually do hate crystal people.
Fair.
I care as long as you're not trying to cure cancer.
I think crystals and minerals and gemstones, semi-precious gemstones, were this... person's, like, where they landed on the spectrum of, like, niche interests.
Right.
Sure.
So it was cool to hear about. Anyway, but so also, like, it was really neat because there was, like, a really collegial, like, the guy that had the, like, super telephoto lens with the, you know, NASA-grade sun filter on it was, like, letting people look through the viewfinder of his camera to actually watch the eclipse happen. But also, like, I had this thing set up so people were coming over to, like, take peeks at it, which was kind of neat. Mm-hmm. And, but, so there's, like, a Harley dude who's just like, hell yeah, man, that shit's awesome, brother. He's like, check this shit out. I took this on my phone.
Hell yeah.
And there's just, like, a blob of what is probably the sun. Yeah. It was, like, it was awesome.
What are the odds that was Cullen's real father? Sounds like him.
Yeah, I mean the
in spirit,
the mustache. I've seen that mustache, non-gray on Cullen's face. Uh-huh. So
that is something. Like I had a moment. Like I went and watched it from the parking lot at work, which Memphis was at like 98%, which means we had like a little crescent thumbnail kind of situation, which was still very, very cool. But I think the thing that I thought was coolest was that it was. Like, even if leading up to that, you were like, I don't really give a shit. I mean, it's a fucking eclipse. There's one, like, every 20 years or whatever. Who gives a shit? The people who predicted when this one would be, or, like, did the math, like, probably did so before any of us were born.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, like, back in the, like late early 1800s.
Right, like, hundreds of years. Like, and we're all sharing this with everyone, even if you were very blasé about it. Everybody went and at least like went outside and looked at something. And that's really cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's not this like, there's a whole bunch of stuff about the some quasi, some religious, some spiritual kind of things, which are not my thing. And some not so great religious things. But ultimately, like, we predicted this thing was going to happen and it happened. And we all looked at it and it was really fucking cool. And this like moment of unification in this also like mathematical and scientific thing is just kind of overwhelming.
No man knows the hour. Like a thief in the night.
Well, I mean, we predicted the hour in the 1800s.
Yeah.
Apparently, we can predict them up to like 10,000 years in the future. So there might not even be humans anymore.
Speaking of wondrous things, I have a dessert to share with the class.
Yeah.
In the spirit of Astronomica exotic dessert sharing.
Yes.
All right.
I want to introduce something new to you. This is from the Ginger's Bread Company here in Memphis.
Oh, okay. I like where this is going.
Yeah, I already know it's going
to be. It is an unholy marriage.
Holy shit.
I like where this is going.
Croissant wrapped around a brownie, topped with what appears to be a praline, some sort of praline.
I was going
to
say, that looks like they fed all the desserts into an accelerator and collided them at like a measurable percentage of C.
Who wants a bite of unholy marriage?
I do.
I mean, yeah. Who's going to say no to that?
Shout out to, by the way, unsponsored shout out to the Ginger's Bread in Memphis, Tennessee on Madison Avenue, right? No, Union.
It's on Union.
Yeah.
I don't know how filthy this fork is. I'm just going to go for it.
It's fine.
Right around the corner from my house. Mm-hmm. I've known them for many, many years. They're good friends of mine. And one of the owners has a PhD in English.
Nice.
All right.
Dr. F. Grant Whittle.
So in case you're wondering.
Oh, I know.
That's what you can do with a PhD in English.
He was a fixture at PNH trivia back in the day. Oh, he was on
was
the
he
team
a,
that
Bob's,
won.
Bob's your uncle?
He was
I
on
believe
my team,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was on that team.
Oh, you guys were the guys that won every time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Motherfucker.
Damn.
So, our good friends and buddies, of which we are a fan cast, Looters.
Mm-hmm.
Really, we're a Theo fan cast. Sorry, Drew. They just launched their Patreon, and I signed up for the $10 tier.
Nice.
But the $20 tier is tempting because you can make them watch a movie live.
Oh, fuck. And like any movie?
I mean, if I give them $20, they're going to watch Showerfuck.mpeg. So
I had to give you $20 for you to let me watch that.
You know what, Stan? But if you give them $20, mm-hmm. it's from the same account that our money goes into. So that means we gave them $20.
That's true. Well, do you recall when we set out to make this podcast and we divvied up who would do what account?
Yeah.
And I was given the Patreon.
I do. I do remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And Cullen was given the Instagram.
I do.
But they were all of them.
And I was given nothing.
For another social media account was made.
Oh, Instagram. If you follow our Instagram, why?
Can somebody send me a link?
Yeah. Anyway, congratulations, Looters.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Joining the pantheon of professional
cyber begging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're almost there.
What's up, all you cool cats and kitties? You're grooving to the smooth sounds of WOEM, home to the swinginest recaps in the Rheingold. Last week, CB laid some of that sweet science on Yazid, who said those bitty baby blastocyst picks were some kind of crazy cologne. Mackie dropped some guap on Yazid, and now they get to choose their own threads. So they're starting with the kind of coat that turns. Traitor, baby. Hopper tries to keep the squares and narcs from Yazid by rearranging those guts in a platonic way. But his instrument just can't do the job for completely understandable reasons. That wild mixed up baby head, chicken head, NZ gets some fly threads from Augie, and we all hit the club to cut a rug. Augie gets some ankle wagging time with the Viceroy, and Daddy, she is a total vilf. The Roman rolls a really mediocre dance check, but Roman romance is in the cards. Despite being an admiral, the Viceroy is also a thoroughly yeoman-like dancer. The light fantastic gets tripped a little short when news breaks of a spaceship blowing up, and I don't mean going viral. What does this mean for the crew? Keep your ears tuned in to hear, dear, on this week's Totally Out There episode of Jazztronomica.
Chris, you asked a question.
Well, okay, so is the party breaking up?
The early birds are turning in.
Okay, well, then I'm going to try and hook up with the Commodore. Oh, I'm sorry. Where's Enzeticus?
Good question.
At the bar, by themselves, wondering why nobody likes them.
Yeah.
I remember
NZ was going to maybe look at trying to woo the groom's bodyguard.
Oh, yeah. That didn't work out.
Oh, sad face.
At the bar.
I thought he really
sad
liked
sad Charlie
her.
Brown song.
Augie retrieves. And Zedekus. Aw. And Zedekus, you look sad. Come with me.
How'd you like dancing with Tullia?
No.
Oh, I have to do what I have to do for the mission, NZ.
Jeez.
Come on. I'll take you in the bathroom and fuck you.
God damn it. Oh, my God.
God damn it.
This one goes out to all the people listening to this where other people can hear them. Yeah. This one's for you.
Yeah. Fucking well done.
My first time with the PC?
Okay. Smash cut. Back to you. Star wipe. And we're back to
brown star wipe.
God damn it.
Heart wipe. And we go back to
a budding romance.
CB, the stall door opens.
Yeah.
Acela steps out, straightens her jacket.
Yeah.
And makes eye contact with you as you approach. And you are, let's see. You are attempting to attack right out of the gate, right? Like you're trying
to. Yeah, the whole thing was like a smooth, as soon as the door opens, she's trying to do that.
Okay. Let's roll initiative then.
Okay. I snuck around in here.
Mm-hmm.
Can I make an argument that this is a sneak attack? Like this is a surprise round?
You could, but she benefits from alert.
She can't be surprised. God damn.
So you have to beat her at initiative.
Okay, fine. Fine. Whatever. I'm still going to scramble her. Probably I'm not going to scramble her. So I rolled a one.
Okay. Oh.
But I have a plus one in dex.
Nice.
So well, that's twice as good.
I have a two.
Nice.
On initiative.
She got a seven.
Yeah. It's...
Well, she sees you.
Yeah.
She instantly kind of reads your aggressive stance as you come at her with a scrambler. And she says, I need your help. And then attacks you.
Cool.
Nice.
That's
the thing we'd do.
Yeah. That sounds... I'm getting mixed messages here.
She got a 15. She has some kind of dagger-like device in her hand.
Okay. My AC is 14. So she does beat it.
You feel a... sharp puncture in your temple.
Okay.
As you get hit with this jagged kind of, like I said, dagger-like device. And immediately you're kind of like, you can hear, like it's right over your ear, and you can hear this like horrible buzzing sound as it begins to activate and do something.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you, you have this round's action to respond to that. Basically, it's got some kind of like automatic, it's drilling into your brain on some kind of like...
That bitch is cutting in on my turf.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to try and rip it out of the side of my head.
Okay.
Obviously. So I assume that, like, if it's going into my head, that means she either has to hold it. Is she holding it with her hand?
She hit you with it and immediately stepped back.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm going to try and, like, rip it out.
All right. That's going to be a skill check of some kind. Could be a save.
Yeah, I was wondering if there was a save.
Welcome to the communion, CB.
Yeah, right. I don't think they're going to like CB being a part of their hive mind, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. I guess exert is the most likely skill.
Exert, heal.
I mean, what's your physical save?
My physical save is 10.
That's a 50-50. That's pretty good.
Which is pretty good. I don't know if that, I mean, does that...
I'm going to say the DC for a skill check is going to depend on the skill you pick. For an exert check, just trying to rip it out of your temple before it can get a hold of your brain, I would say is DC 8.
Okay.
But you're going to be doing damage to yourself.
Yeah. Way. Well, so my question, I guess, is my feeling would be a save would be if it works.
Right. It would give you saves as it attempts to, like, make you do things.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. And this is more of a before we get to saves kind of situation. Punch is the other...
Yeah.
Option.
You could try to whack it and break it. That's what she said.
Go.
How does the scrambler actually work?
You're not sure. It sends out some kind of energy pulse that affects brainwaves.
Brainwaves. Mm-hmm. Not... Okay. I was thinking maybe
don't
I could...
scramble yourself.
No, I was going to scramble the dagger. I was going to like... Because if it was an energy pulse, then my idea was that maybe I would... Mm-hmm. Okay. Last question, and then I will decide. I have the huckleberry.
Mm-hmm. Are you trying to clone your brain?
No, I can't clone my brain. But the huckleberry... No, it doesn't work this way. I think I've asked this before. It doesn't, like, take a thing from one side.
No, it copies it.
It copies it, and it can't just, like, copy stuff into something else in a way that would make it not work. Nope. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think I asked that before a long time ago. Mm-hmm. All right, I guess we're going to try exert. I'm going to try and rip it out.
Okay.
I can't think of another thing to do.
Exert dex or exert strength?
I would argue for exert dex. She is going to try and, like, angle it. I mean, it's mm-hmm. a physical thing, but she's going to, instead of just rip, 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 she is going to try it.
Right.
Be a little more delicate.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, that gets me a plus one if it, you know, works. Okay. Let's see what we can do. Well, one of my dice is a 3.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my dice is a 5.
Okay.
So I rolled 8 on the dice, plus 1 from dex.
Nice.
For a total of 9.
Okay. You grab a hold of the device. It feels like a metal spider, almost, that's using it all of its arms to, like, push itself into the through the skull. You're able to get your fingers kind of in, like, between the individual legs and the device, and you rip it out.
And CB is going to shout. Like, she is, motherfucker! And, like, blow out everybody else's speakers so that they know something is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay.
I'm throwing that fucker to the ground, and as soon as I can dance on it, I am.
Okay, you take 5 points of damage.
Okay.
And there is a violent geyser of blood out of the side of your head.
Oh, shit.
Nice.
And I would just like to point out that Augie and NZ are heading for the bathroom.
That's true.
So when would they get there?
In the coming round.
Okay.
Also, I was headed there as well. Could think of it.
Following somebody. I'm not standing by myself in the ballroom.
dancing it out.
Is this kind of registering on the background telemetry?
Yeah, I think well, I think CB is deliberately broadcasting, right?
Yeah,
I'm broadcasting to everyone, and also she did just shout. So anyone who's in the general vicinity,
mm-hmm. Hopper starts sprinting for the for the bathroom.
Okay.
Also, I mean, not to insert myself into something that doesn't involve me, but I think Yazid's last thing was being operated on by Hopper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if Yazid is following someone, it would make sense for it to be Hopper.
Sounds good. So why don't we go ahead and get initiative from everybody? Let me get your initiative results, everybody.
I got a 7.
I got a 7, too.
I rolled a 6 and a 7, so I'm going with the 7, plus 1 is 8.
Okay.
9.
Nice.
Y'all did so much better than I did.
Well, to be fair, you're gushing blood from your head, so.
Well, yeah. I mean, I rolled initiative before that and should have been lined up, but...
You were trying to juggle a tray of drinks and a... pre-tech brain scrambling device.
Yeah. Not to get all Joe about it, but for some reason I tend to roll low on initiative. I think I've consistently rolled. It's not my best.
Okay, Yazid wins initiative, but is not close enough to the restroom to enter on this round. Mackie.
Mm-hmm.
You reach the restroom door.
Okay.
And can head in.
Mackie opens the restroom door.
You see a horror movie plot unveiling before you.
He draws his mag pistol and attempts to step between CB and Acela Walking Crow.
Okay.
Because I feel like I can just do this.
Mm-hmm.
He is also pointing the mag pistol at her and saying, hands up!
You can give me a, probably a lead.
All right.
It could be authority.
Technically, authority is not a thing.
Oh, but don't you have
it's a focus?
It's a focus, not a
skill. Oh, not a skill, yeah.
Okay, it's 8 on like the die... I think if what authority does is give you a bonus to lead.
I think Hildy had it.
Yeah, actually, okay, so 8 on the die, plus 2 in lead, plus 1 in charisma is an 11. And authorita, once per day, manipulate an NPC with a charisma lead check. So I don't know if saying hands up counts as manipulation,
mm-hmm.
but if it does, I'm using my authority.
I'll allow it in this case.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, it says non-hostile.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Well, the lead's gonna work. The lead will probably work anyway.
Just the lead.
So the lead triggered a morale check, which she passed. So she is evidently still hostile.
But shook.
Somewhat shook. But it is her turn.
Mm-hmm.
She sees CB bleeding out of the side of her head and Mackie stepping into the middle and apparently judges Mackie as the biggest threat in the moment. She pulls a second device from under her jacket, mm-hmm. but she's not using it as the device is intended. It's just a sharp object that she's lunging at your throat with. But she only got an 11 to hit.
Okay, I'm pretty sure that my AC is 14.
Do you have your armor on, or what?
Absolutely. Underneath my race car toga.
I don't think you do. Under your race car toga.
AC 15.
Without the armor, what do you got?
What does anyone have?
It'd be 10 plus your dex mod, plus anything that you get from foci.
Well, you should have at least 11 then.
I've gotten 11 then.
Okay.
Yeah, but...
That's a hit.
That's a hit.
Mm. Ah, shit. All right.
Fortunately, using the device as she is, she only does... Well, I said only before I rolled it. 7 damage.
You can live with that. Ow! Jesus Christ, I was just pointing a gun at you.
Nobody brain probes Mackie but me.
Augie and NZ are... next through the door, and NZ's like, no!
Yeah, so Augie sees what's happening.
We've got to fund another one.
Stand back. And Augie is going to attack to subdue. Yeah, but he's not wearing his armor either. So he's a 10. Mm-hmm. But he's going to...
A Memphis 10.
Sure is.
It's a Memphis 10.
You're only 10, I see.
I just want to point out, I used CB's nice. Armor class because she is not dressed to be fancy. She right. is wearing the suit that she got, the armed back suit underneath her mm-hmm. shit.
Yeah, so, I mean, I can do that. Like, I can, with unarmed combat, like I can mm-hmm. say, I'm attempting to render her unconscious rather Correct. Than kill her.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to deal with her body.
Mm-hmm. Hurtful, but okay.
And that is a clean miss.
All right.
That is a 8.
That is a miss.
Oh, but I got shock damage.
Okay.
So
her AC is 16.
Mm.
Does your shock damage kick in?
Hang on.
15 is typically the threshold for that.
I have it's unarmed combat too, so.
Similar to CB, she has really advanced body armor that looks like street clothes.
We're losing a fight in a bathroom. I'd just like to point that out.
Mm-hmm.
A 4-on-1.
4-on-1.
Hey,
I'm not in the room yet at all.
Nobody wins a fight in a bathroom.
Look, we've all been there.
The one EMT joke I know is, you know how you can tell who wins a knife fight? The winner dies in the emergency room. She has 16?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't do shock damage.
Yep.
Yeah, it's 15 for me, too. At level 2, though, it says, even on a miss with a punch attack, you do an unmodified D6 damage.
Yeah. So I believe that's... We have this conversation every single time, and
yeah.
What do we decide?
We decided... No,
that's for armor, for TL4 armor. Mm. If I'm gonna put,
No. I think it's for everything, even including TL4 armor, but we decided, like... You have to be able to do the shock damage to do the 1d6.
Right.
Okay.
So Augie lands a clean punch and is shocked to discover that it doesn't do anything.
Yeah. Well, I would say actually, so shock damage is more like you were just saying about the knife fight. It's more like if you are engaged in melee and somebody's swinging a knife at you, you're getting cut.
Yeah.
So even on a miss, like you're taking some lacerations to the forearms and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not as much. A hit is actually like getting in past the defenses. So,
in this case, it
wasn't a clean hit, but it just doesn't even.
Well,
do anything.
Like he comes at her with an attack, and she blocks it, and he's like, "What the?"
Yeah, she's quick. You're getting real surprise. I'm actually a Terminator vibes going right now in the fight, or you know, a deadly assassin. You didn't realize I was played by Angelina Jolie, something like,
or by Michelle Yeoh.
Thinking that exact.
Yeah.
Thing.
Who plays Diaz in Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Yep.
Yeah.
I can't remember her name, but yes.
Stephanie Beatriz.
Beatriz.
Yeah. First episode, I was like, who's this knockoff Aubrey Plaza? And then won me over.
Immediately. Yeah.
She is so charming.
Yeah, she's great. Mm-hmm. Also, the running bit of any time she has to play a character and is like a talkative, bubbly, like sorority girl. It's really funny. Hopper, it's your turn. I'm going to say you were close to Yazeed.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to give you a couple feet extra movement when Maggie gets hit.
Okay.
Like, you open the door. You're in the room. Yazid's right on your heels. And CB's turn.
All right. So, movement. The thing I just yanked out of my head, I want to use my movement to stomp on it.
Okay.
Just real good. Just grind it into the floor.
Okay.
It is way too close to, like, a worm or something for my comfort.
Yeah.
And then...
And I will say, you recognize it as being... very similar to the device that Hopper was given. The kind of like instant, what do you call it?
Brain meld, meld thingy. Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, I'll clock that. And then if I can spend my movement on that, I want to spend my actual action on this. Brandishing the scrambler.
Mm-hmm.
CB is going to like menace towards her.
Okay.
Look, I don't know what you're here to do. It sounds like something that we probably don't want anything to do with, but maybe we can help you if you explain what it is. Maybe we won't. But there was one of me, and now there's... And CB looks around and counts. One, two, three, four of me, and I think probably five, six. Oh, yeah, plus me. Six of me total in, like, a few seconds. So you can stand down now, or you can see what my friends do to you.
As you count your friends, you realize that you're seeing double.
There's 12 of us? Yeah.
And only two of you.
But yeah, she's going to try
friend's
and...
got a karate chop for each of you.
And I'm going to scramble your brain. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so she's going to try and talk her way out of this.
Okay.
Or, menace her way out of this.
I'll let you trigger another morale.
Okay, cool. I guess.
Although the fight that she's put up so far has been successful enough, I'm not going to give her any penalties.
That's fair. Do you want me to do a roll or anything to add or change?
Yeah, you're going to need to... Basically, you're setting the difficulty. You're seeing if we add anything to the difficulty.
Gotcha. So, in that case, since I'm menacing, this isn't a charisma. Can I guess just like a strength or con?
Sure. How straight you're standing after having your...
Yeah.
Skull stabbed through, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Because I have a plus one in con, so that helps. Okay. So that'll add three to the roll.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not too bad. Not super great, but not too bad. 8 on the die plus 3 for a total of 11.
Okay. I am going to give her let's call it a minus 2 on there. Or a plus 2.
Plus 2 to me?
No, minus 2. She's trying to roll over.
She'd have to meet it or beat it, presumably. Usually it's meet or beat.
No, for a morale check. I think morale, is roll over.
Yeah. No, it's roll under. It's roll under.
I'm sorry, roll over is a fail.
Yeah.
Oh. Wait, but then
so that means a higher morale is better.
Wait, but if it's roll over and I set the difficulty, then that means the higher number I was saying,
so you got an 11. I'm giving her a 2-point penalty because of your 11. That was unclear. I apologize.
Oh, okay.
She... drops the other device and stands back with her hands up, but she's still ready to defend herself. Like, she still feels like Augie's coming at her and all that.
Yeah. So we're at, like, a middle.
Mm-hmm. Her body language expresses a willingness to surrender if nobody else attacks her in this round. Is that what happens? Or does anybody lunge at her?
I think that was the end of the round, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, CB's definitely last.
But in the following round, Yazid, you come through the door. There's that good, thick... dark red brain blood all over the...
Yeah, all I see is brain blood.
Smears, sneaker prints going through.
Lady who looks ready to fight, but none of you have killed her yet, so I've at least figured out that we're not trying to kill her, I think. And also, I can't be killing stuff. I'm technically still at work. So I'm going to use my gecko anchors to... shove through the door, climb the walls, get above her, and just fall on her.
Nice.
That's it. I don't know how to roll for that, though.
I don't think you need to roll for it. I think you're just straight up Spider-Man when you go to the wall.
Yeah, so you all see...
you can move your normal movement rate.
My shiny self suddenly adhering to the walls and just climbing up it like it's nothing.
Mm-hmm. CB.
Did
you guys know that they could do that?
And now do you guys believe in vampires?
Flat on top of her.
All right.
I got her, guys.
For that, I'm going to do a roll to hit.
All right. That's a 20.
Okay.
And you're going to add your base attack bonus and probably punch.
plus one on the base attack, and then a minus one because I don't have anything under punch.
It's minus two.
Could you make an argument for anything you do have?
If you have a skill that
like
makes
exert.
I'm a level one. The only thing I have is
you have exert shoot. Though, don't you?
Plus one on shoot, and
sad
that's
base.
It.
Base.
Okay, so basically I'm at a negative one.
Yeah, but I'm not going to count her armor because you're not trying to hurt her. You're trying to basically score a touch.
So. Yeah.
So AC 10, you're trying to beat?
I did not do that well.
All right. Yazeed rushes into the room.
You have a base attack bonus. Did you add that in?
It wouldn't be enough.
Yeah, it's only one.
No.
Yazeed rushes into the room. Spider-Man's up the wall, across the ceiling, and then swan dives onto the floor as Acela steps to the side. She's quick. Mackie?
She's quick. You gotta watch her.
Would you guys mind not spreading CB's brain blood out so far all over the bathroom?
Mackie
sorry.
Begins his round with his mag pistol pointed at her.
Mm-hmm.
And then he raises both of his hands with the mag pistol pointed at the ceiling now.
Hi.
Okay. Real quick, going around the rest of the... Is anybody else aggressing at this point?
Hopper seeing CB taking, like, ongoing brain bleed.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Do I essentially have a bleed? Like, do I lose any more points, or...
Probably.
Okay. Do you want me to mark points?
No, not yet.
Okay.
So, how would you rule healing twice as much using a healing thing for the healer focus, healer 2... Is that roll twice as many dice, or roll one and double it?
Huh. I usually double stuff, but you can make the case. It's either
no,
way.
I mean, just whichever way.
You can double it, that's fine.
Okay. Here is a heal check, which is a 13. And then, so, the heal score is doubled to a 6, so you get up to 6 points of...
That puts me back at max. Back.
Okay. CB gets a very quick... plate. Yeah.
Do I take any system strain?
Yes, you take 1 point of system strain. This is pre-tech cosmetics.
Okay.
And Augie has a kung fu stance, a hyper karate stance, on guard, but he's not doing anything.
Okay.
But so, yeah, so these, the pre-tech cosmetics take effect immediately rather than after 5 minutes of rest.
Nice.
Yeah. So your, the hole that led to your exposed brain has been covered up.
Goody.
And mended.
Can I, as a free action, can I turn around to Acela Walking Crow and give a little finger wag?
Sure. You can do that with your free hand while you're patching with the other. So you are, half your body is just drenched in blood from this wound. Like you can no longer walk around.
Normal, without taking some time to clean up. And
you look like a crime scene.
Aren't you wearing the nanite
That's true.
Disguise?
I mean, I guess I could be. I'm wearing a utility toga.
Just change it to a Guar costume.
Oh.
Then you'll have to clean the blood off.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm going to clean up before we get out of here.
Can we
Mackie
just
said hi.
Sidebar that I went to a Guar concert once and did not know who they were, what it was, what I was going to, and had the best fucking time.
Of course. That's the perfect way to experience. Such a good,
I had no idea. My friends were still like, come to this thing with me. I was like, okay.
It's metal, right?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
It's an experience.
Like, I've heard of Guar, but I've only heard of Guar not in the, like, here's what this means, but in a, like, so that sounds like music that I would find an anthropological experience.
It's,
yes.
It's not really so much about the music as it is
the costumes and the
performance of it.
Yeah.
It's comedy metal.
The giant, like, vagina squirting menstrual blood out onto the audience.
And they look a lot like monsters from the Muppets.
Yeah.
Yes.
A lot of times.
Okay.
Big oversized.
I mean, that's not like
medieval knight Zelda villains, I guess.
Okay. That sounds, like I said, an anthropological experience.
Yeah.
Imagine if Kiss was actually cool.
Yeah.
Yes. And Jim Henson Muppets were actually scary.
It's like the Avenue Q meets Kiss.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm into it.
So, Mackie.
Uh-huh.
You said hi?
I sure did.
Acela lowers her hands and says hi.
And then a Condoleezza naval ensign
just lands right next to her.
But to the side.
So this is going to be kind of a deception or perform check. I don't know.
Okay.
Mackie knows that she was having some sort of disagreement through CB with someone on the other end of her comms.
Mm-hmm.
You had it right. they don't know the situation on the ground. They don't know everything that's going on here. You had it right. Stand down. We're not your enemy. No matter what you've heard.
She reaches for the earpiece. I'm pausing in case anybody stops her from sudden movements. And she extends it to Mackie and says she wants to talk to you.
Of course.
Hopper lunges in between the two of you and grabs the earpiece and then holds it up to his own ear. Repeater mode engaged.
Thanks, Hopper. Yellow?
I'm not letting direct contact with Mackie's head.
Got it.
With any Cho tech.
Nice. At this point, I'm going to present a role-playing challenge for you, Jeff.
Okay.
Mackie, you are on the line with Grace.
Wait, but does he know that yet?
Not yet. That's why I'm giving you the setup. I believe we have it sufficient to just start with Grace talking.
Hello, old friend.
Hello, old friend. Is this Gracie?
Yes, this is Grace.
Hey, Grace, how you been?
To be honest, I have been better.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
I have, however, I must also be further honest, been much worse.
Oh, okay, well, all right, good. That sounds like a marginal improvement. Can you tell us what is going on?
Well, what is going on is a very broad question, which cannot be answered simply and concisely in one sentence. In fact, there is an open debate about whether things that are going on are actually going on, or whether they are in fact...
Gracie! She tried to implant something in my brain!
Hello?
Hello, Gracie, it's CB. Wait, did we ever meet?
Yes, you blew me up, you bitch.
Look, to be fair, I didn't blow you up. I blew up your previous body, which allowed you to transcend into what is now...
Sounds like a marginal improvement.
Anyway, are you...
Yes, my body is so much better and more awesome now. You would be so jealous if you saw it.
Look, we got along well if she tried to put shit in my brain. So what are you trying to do?
Grace, NZ here.
Hello?
Same. Should get a load of this. Do you have video?
Yes, one moment, please. Video window opening. Oh my God, what is that?
Separating holes.
It's a joke we made like a few arcs ago that just won't die.
I must say, for sex bot purposes, it does seem preferable to a flesh-ripping, gripping industrial claw.
Yeah, I mean, fair. Absolutely.
I made it work.
All right, Grace, I'm just going to be hyper-specific. Do you know anything about the explosion that happened out in the outer system?
Yes, it happened out in the outer system.
You know anything other than that?
I did not do it. And unlike many times when I say that I did not do it, I did not actually do it.
Do you have any idea who did do it?
I do not know.
Do you know why the Condoleezza spooked about it?
I do not know.
All right. So what is your and, I guess, the greater Cho organization's purpose here?
We are here to play a heist. Would you like to do one more job for old time's sake, old friend?
I don't know. Maybe. What are you trying to steal?
It is a plinth. It's something that you might recognize from Aegea.
Funny you should be asking about that.
Yes, because of course it was inside me at one time.
Yeah, absolutely. How did you like that, by the way?
Meh.
All right. Well, hey, listen, so you guys want the plinth. Can you tell me why you want the plinth?
I am capable of disclosing why we want the plinth, but I am unable to tell you why we want the plinth.
Hey, can any of y'all parse exactly what that means?
I think she's lying to us. I think that she just doesn't want to tell us.
No, that's not how they work.
Okay. If I wanted to tell you and was able to tell you, I would tell you.
Gracie.
Present.
What possible uses... okay, let's pretend that you wanted the plinth. What possible uses would an AI have to use the plinth?
You could sand it down and use it as a funerary monument. You could carve a hole in it and use it as a very large planter. You could pulverize it and use it to fill a kitty sandbox.
Okay.
You could turn it 45 degrees and then drop it and break it.
Okay, but what uses, what would be the most useful use? Pappy, I'm trying to phrase a prompt, but I don't.
No, you've got it. You're nailing it. You're killing it.
Hey, Gracie.
Present.
Let's say that we participate in a heist on this plinth, and we successfully secure the plinth, and then I try to put it on my ship. What happens to me?
A double cross during a heist? I do not think such a thing has ever been documented before.
Okay.
Wait, what would happen to you if you put the plinth on your ship?
Yeah, that.
You would probably suffer the shame of having stabbed an old, old friend in the back.
All right. Hey, listen, Gracie, I appreciate who you are and what everything you've done for me. But I think, and I hate it, even though it's objectively really cool, you and me are going to have to do, and he does finger guns, rival heists. Rival heists, baby.
Please hand the earpiece to Acela.
Okay, listen, is she cool?
No, not at all. She works for Cho and is fully on board with his vision.
Okay.
We should not hand the earpiece to Acela. We should just, like, put it in Hopper or something, or smash it.
You know what, Shebe? When you're right, you're right.
No, wait, don't smash it, please.
Mackie reaches out, grabs the earpiece.
Wait, if you do the heist for us instead of for yourselves, the Cho Foundation will give you 5,000 credits.
Mackie crushes the earpiece.
Nice.
All right, Acela. If you want to get back in touch with them, looks like you're going to actually have to dial an interstellar phone number. I've tried it, and it sucks.
I don't know any phone numbers.
Yeah, I know. No one does, because they suck. It's going to take you like 15 minutes, even if you know the fucking number by heart. Anyway, listen. I have it on good authority that you suck, but that's not a capital crime. Lots of people suck. So, enchanté.
He blows a kiss at her and moves to leave the bathroom.
Okay.
Hopper bends down and snatches up the brain devices.
Mm-hmm.
And then
one of them is busted, one of them is functional.
Yeah, he grabs both.
Mm-hmm.
And uses his hands to move his face into a disapproving expression, or what he thinks of as a disapproving expression.
Mm-hmm.
You bitch, this is my turf. If there is brain manipulating to be done, I am going to be the one manipulating it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey guys, are you just going to walk off? You don't want to, like, search her pockets or anything?
I mean, you can feel free to do that, but
Augie will search her pockets.
Yeah. Okay, Augie, help me search her pockets.
Yeah.
NZ, can you hold on to her?
Yeah. NZ walks up behind her. Yeah, deflates around her and constricts. She basically looks like one of those fetish videos where somebody's in saran wrap.
Oh, oh no.
Roy Orbison, for example.
There you go.
Oh, dear.
That is a deep internet cut right there for the audience. Roy Orbison in saran wrap.
I am unfamiliar. It sounds horrifying, though.
It's really quite beautiful.
Oh, okay.
It's a short story.
Okay. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Huh?
I don't know.
I feel like you're...
Maybe beautiful is overselling it.
Okay. I feel like you're doing that thing from that movie where you're trying to trick me into looking at nuts. But,
No, yeah. No.
It's probably just Goatsy.
Mm-hmm. No. Okay. It's a short story about wrapping Roy Orbison in saran wrap. Oh. It's a sexual fetish.
Okay.
Damn.
It's a very specific fetish. What does she have in her pocket?
What does she have in her pocket?
What does she have in its pockets? Pocketses.
An egg. No.
a box without hinges.
Data slab.
Okay. We're taking that.
A cred stick.
Definitely taking that.
And she has a single shot ballistic pistol trapped to her ankle.
Oh, yeah. Taking that.
It is ceramic, so it can pass through metal detectors and that kind of thing. But it's literally a single shot.
It's like a Derringer.
Firing it breaks it. Yeah.
Hey, yes. Yeah,
okay.
Yes. I'm pulling myself off of the ground and standing kind of. I want to, like, dust myself off, but the dust is blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a little bit gross.
The whole front of your body is blood red.
Do you want this? And CB holds out the ceramic one-shot pistol.
Seriously?
I mean, I'm not much of a shooter, and neither is Augie.
I've never had a free weapon before. There's like no straight. You're just gonna give me this weapon?
Well, like, you're part of the team now, right?
Yeah, but whisper. Don't say that so loud, but yeah.
Well, I mean, that's okay. Well, it's weird that you want to be part of the team, but you feel like gross about being associated with us and like private. But
they are worried about possible legal ramifications from abandoning their post with the military. Sorry, whisper mode. Abandoning their post with the military.
Yeah, remember that whole thing about being fired out of one cannon into another cannon and then into a fire?
I thought you were just like ashamed of us.
I mean, I clearly should be. Have you seen you all? But no.
I didn't fall from a ceiling. Anyway, do you want this gun?
I sure do.
And a friendship is born.
Ms. Walking Crow.
Yes?
If you would so kindly please remove those articles of clothing which constitute your casually and unobservable armor.
I'm currently in saran wrap.
Well, that makes me feel like crying over you.
Oh, God. It says, I'll take care of you. And then there's some undulating as this saran-wrapped entity kind of violently twitches around, and then the clothing gets spat out of the end as from a silkworm.
Okay, so Hopper's going to scoop up those clothes, and...
What about the keys to her ship?
Yes, that was also in her pocket.
And the keys to her ship were in her pocket. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I think I want to take, like, everything that is at all useful. Like, she is just a citizen at this point.
Yep.
The data slab and the credit stick, I just want to toss the credit stick into our group pot. So, like, I guess I can go in Hopper's stomach.
Sure. All right. On the data slab is a text message from Grace that says, do double finger guns, it will be cool.
And then, yeah, I also want to get the data slab to, I'll give it to either Hopper or Mackie. But I figure that's something that, like, the two of you probably need to take a longer look at when we have a chance.
The cred stick has 9,050 credits on it.
Damn, dude.
And she was only going to give us 5.
The data slab will require more detailed analysis to get anything useful. It looks like just a personal, it's her phone, basically.
Cool. I feel like that's a project for you two.
Is there any way to triangulate from the spaceship keys where the spaceship is?
Yeah, I'll say there's like an indicator. It's a TL-4 set of car keys.
You double tap the lock and it goes...
Yeah. It indicates where to go on the key itself.
Okay.
Augie takes the keys.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Hopper, should we render her unconscious or leave her?
I believe that given the close proximity of at least one other agent from the Cho Foundation, unconsciousness is the safest course forward.
Do you want me to scramble her?
Yes, I do.
All right. I'm going to scramble her.
Mm-hmm. Is there a setting that you have not used yet?
There's like a whole bunch of settings I haven't used yet. I was going to use over easy, but like...
DuPont your train.
Okay.
Mackie's not there. He stepped out of the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. He's like making sure nobody...
Yeah.
Nobody comes in and tries to use it. Yeah, I'm just going to give the dial an old a spin and whatever it lands on.
You give it a flip like on a Wheel of Fortune and her Price is Right.
Yep.
Okay. You put it to the side of her head and pull the trigger. Bloop.
Yes, I do.
There's no immediate outward sign of what happened except that her eyes are looking in opposite directions.
Oh, no.
And one's kind of rolling around and the other is like locked up at the ceiling light.
You know, there's a real, it's not good guys and bad guys. It's just two different bad guys in opposition.
Someday CB's going to answer for her war crimes with the Scrambler, but it's not today.
It's only temporary. So.
There's a great, every time the Scrambler gets used, I'm reminded of a Baby Cakes video where he's talking about a magical creature that he knows about called the Brain Fuckler. Like, he's invisible and he's fuckling the shit out of everybody's brain and they don't even know it.
Technically, wasn't the Scrambler a toy?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's...
Yeah, people would like... It was a party drug, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
like,
fine.
Like space whippets.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think the one guy that I like did permanent damage to, it wasn't just the scrambler. He was also on Sapo.
Yeah.
So he was also on drugs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Ooh, that was ugly.
It's a
That's
double
why
trip.
We shouldn't do drugs, kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, to be fair to him, he didn't choose to do drugs. We put them in the sprinklers in a place we knew someone was going to fight
us. And saturated him in his clothing with...
He was a bad guy. He was he was from the Locust, the Ashigaru, the guys that the Condoleezze are currently fighting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, yeah, fuck those guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when you guys step out of the bathroom,
cleaned
Mackie's
up some.
There, and he's like, all right, everybody, huddle. You too, Yazid.
I'm covered in blood.
That's all right. I've huddled with worse.
And Augie is carrying... NZ's deflated form like a sleeping bag under his arm.
Not draped over his shoulders and as a scarf.
Yeah, it's your call.
Yeah, with like the head like on my shoulder like Zaphod.
Yeah.
It's like a mink coat. All right, guys.
You know, it's like the lion in Coming to America.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so...
Look, Messi, I'm active wear.
I am so proud of you. This is the least objectionable thing I've seen you do in months. All right, everybody.
Can't see my hands.
Fill with me. I'm going to blow you out an airlock. You know that, right? I'm not even kidding.
That's just like, all I heard was you're going to blow me. Yes, we did good. Right?
I have no fucking clue.
We just left her in there. I scrambled her.
Okay, good. She's not dead?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, I mean, that's probably fine. Listen.
Still breathing.
Guys, we had plans. We had things we were gonna do. We had shit we were gonna attempt to enact at this week-long nuptial extravaganza. But shit's gotten fucking weird. The Condoleezze are spooked and pulling out. What do you guys think we ought to do?
I think that we should steal the plinth.
Okay.
Okay, but...
I think we should steal the person we just left scrambled.
What's Ocella?
Ocella?
I think we should steal Ocella's ship.
Okay, all right.
Okay, I'm gonna stay on task with the main thing, and that is, I think we should see what happens and give it a little time. Like, not like a long time, but just like maybe the next couple hours and see if we can still fuck this whole baddies taking over... my home moon situation.
I think that we should get in contact with the Irish Goodbye and see if they have been able to discern anything more about the nature of the explosion.
Okay,
easy. I should go change my clothes.
All right. But
you stand out.
I'm not hearing anyone say we should cut out and fuck off. I'm not hearing that from anybody. Am I right?
Oh, no. Just a stupid, mysterious explosion at the edge of the system? I don't know. That's not...
Should be fine. Doesn't have anything to do with us.
Yeah.
We didn't do it.
Okay.
The Condoleezze Navy gets scared and cuts and runs all the time. No offense.
That's true.
Yazid, change your clothes. Augie.
Commodore.
Steal that ship and pilot it up to the Irish Goodbye. Maybe it'll fit in one of our hangars or storage bays or cargo bays or what the fuck ever we got. CB.
Yes.
Just keep being you, you beautiful bastard.
I'm gonna mingle. Do some reconnaissance.
We're among wealthy people, so it's technically hobnobbing.
Oh, no, I'm gonna go with the servants.
Okay, mingle then. And, Hopper?
Present.
We've got eyes on that plinth, so tell me when you want us to do what you want us to do.
I think that we should steal it at the earliest possible opportunity. We can no longer guarantee that the wedding ceremony will proceed according to schedule.
All right, that makes sense. And is everybody in agreement that we're supposed to steal Walking Crow?
Oh, we should definitely not just leave her here.
Okay, is that unanimous? I'm going to abstain.
Yeah, let's take her with us.
This is my first crimes, so I will just vote with the group. Okay.
This is technically terrorism.
I mean, we could do a more permanent version of the scramble thing. And by we, I mean I.
No.
I'm a little concerned with the glee in your eyes, Hopper.
If it's Hopper lobotomizes her or we take her with us, I guess that I won't abstain and it's we take her with us.
I mean, I could shoot her.
Oh, shit. I mean, honestly, as weird as it sounds, I find that less objectionable than Hopper's thing.
You know, in the brief moments that I was back in communion with Grace, I got some really cool ideas that we could try.
Yeah, let's go ahead and just write them down so I know what they are.
Okay, well, here's my first one off the top of my dome. What if I removed her lower jaw and her larynx and left her tongue hanging out like a dog and then cut off the bottom halves of her legs and arms so that she had to trot around on all fours?
Remind me to never piss you off.
Okay.
I think that would attract attention, and I think our number one priority right now is to not attract any more attention than we already have. I propose that we get her out in her current extremely intoxicated state and say, oh, our friend here got a little too fucked up, and we walk her back to her ship, and then we take her up to the Irish goodbye and incarcerate her there.
All right, Augie, me and you are on that.
Right.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to do. Me and Augie are going to carry Acela Walking Crow to her ship like she's fucking shit hammered,
mm-hmm.
and then try to use her, like, take her ship up to the Irish goodbye.
Okay.
CB's going to find out what the scuttlebutt is on the ground.
Okay.
She did wipe up a little bit in the bathroom.
Yeah, it didn't make much of a difference.
Well, she's going to freshen up first yeah. and then try it.
CB's used to TL4 paper towels, and these are TL3s, so...
This is some bullshit.
It's the like, please use both hands while dispensing. No.
Yeah, exactly.
One fly.
These are garbage.
But yeah, she will, after she cleans herself up, then she is going to first try and seek out the wedding planner that she connected up with before, Alma Coranzo, the party planner that she shared drugs with. Because if anyone knows if, like, things are continuing or changing, it's going to be Alma.
Okay. Anybody do anything that needs to precede that?
Did Esteban also scamper away?
At the time that you left the dance hall.
Okay. Ooh, you know, in the confusion, if there is confusion, it might be a good time to...
Spiky spike.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you can pick which hive mind to jack him into.
That's true.
You can put them both in at the same time.
See what happens. Let them fight it out.
Yeah. Well.
Tempting.
I actually had the thought. I'd forgotten that Acela did not have a Cho antenna.
Uh-huh.
I kind of want to get a spare one from Beiping if we cross paths again and try that with somebody who's already established in the Cho communion.
Mm-hmm.
See which way the takeover proceeds.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Gruesome.
So, yeah, so Hopper is going to go look for Saban.
Okay.
Yes, do you want to help Hopper with that? It might take some handling.
Yeah.
Well, I am very good with people, especially people who with an inflated sense of self-importance. But if you want to tag along and see how a pro does it.
Sure, buddy, let's go.
Everyone make way for this person covered in blood. Do not worry, it is not their own blood. They merely fell
Hopper,
next to someone
Hopper.
Who was bleeding. And-
Hopper. Shh. We're going to stop by my room and let me change clothes real quick.
Oh, okay.
Okay. You go to get Yazid to change your clothes. Mackie and Augie are walking with Acela between them. Weekend at Bernie-zing them.
Exactly. Weekend at Bernie-zing.
As you reach the, like... exterior gate of the compound, the local police force warns you that it's dangerous outside, but they're not going to stop you from leaving. They're just like, there's rioting out there.
What's the nature of the danger? Just rioting?
Just a bunch of whiners.
Ah, we're fine. We can handle that.
I don't know. I'll tell you, Martin Luther King wouldn't complain.
I'm not afraid of getting beaten to death with their baby rattles.
All right.
Get out of my fucking way.
Good man. Good man. And so you are making your way out into the city. It's not too far to where the shuttle is parked, but we'll cut back over to CB. Remind me.
Yeah, so CB also went to freshen up real quick and then was going to go look for Alma Coranzo.
Right. Okay. So yeah, in that case, you're both... getting the blood cleaned off of you, that takes about the same amount of time. So, Yazid and Hopper.
Present.
Also present.
You're no longer drenched in blood. You are now wearing a local novelty t-shirt. It's up to you what it says.
I am not. I'm in my backup uniform.
Okay, fine.
And as I button it up, I say, I can't wait to wear my own clothes. I'm so excited about fashion.
I'm excited for the shopping montage.
I'm going to wear a t-shirt that says X.
I'm going to wear a t-shirt that says I'm with stupid and it's just going to be a circle. I heard those are cool.
Mm-hmm. There's a t-shirt that says FBI Felosian Body Inspector.
Yes, absolutely. Novelty t-shirts are all the rage in fashion, as I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
It is the high mark of humor. Nothing expresses an individual's sense of humor better than a mass-produced, shitty t-shirt with a dumb joke on it.
Exactly. You get it. All right, so what are we doing again?
Clearly, the pineapple is the slut. Oh, that's another Brooklyn Nine-Nine joke. When Captain Holt is wearing a novelty t-shirt of a pineapple in a thong. It says slut. And he's like, is the pineapple the slut, or is it calling the reader a slut? He's like, clearly the pineapple is the slut.
As only Andre Brower can deliver.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we're going to look for Esteban, right?
Yes.
Right.
You return to the dance hall, and it looks like the only people still present are the low-level nobodies who nobody would ever alert to a disaster. So a bunch of
podcasters,
a bunch of podcasters, a bunch of
people who would actually be useful in an yeah, emergency.
Right. No, like low level aristocrat guests that don't have any kind of military clearance or anything. Thalia and Esteban have been pulled out. There are a few people kind of gathered around data pads looking at news feeds.
Mm-hmm.
So it appears that whatever's happening has at least gotten a mention on the news.
I know where Esteban's ship's parked.
Well, let's go there.
All right. I mean, if he's leaving like everybody else, he should be heading to a ship, right?
Could be.
I mean, isn't this the palace? Doesn't he live here?
This is where he lives, but he is the viceroy for an occupier that lives on another moon. So.
Well, that's
okay,
true.
Okay, we'll scratch all of that. Let's try
no,
this
no, no, no. Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
He could have a ship that he could be...
No, he's not leaving. He's fine. No.
You might know where his like quarters are.
That's what I was about to say. I know where Esteban's quarters are.
Is it like a bunker that is secluded with few people coming in and out?
No. It is in a hallway with some other bedrooms.
With lots of hussies coming in and out.
And lots of hussies coming in and out.
Well,
that's
how
everyone knows where it's at.
Well, I will just walk over that way and then clap these things.
God! That should work. Let's go.
I have been hanging out with NZ.
God!
And gotten some pointers.
I can tell. You're doing great.
Chiz, who wants to put things in my holes?
No. That's things that you ask people on second dates.
Date.
Yeah, you know, when you like, I mean, I don't know much about it. It's not like we were allowed to date, but I've heard you know, where you go out with somebody and you like have a good time and then you do those horrible things you just said on a second date.
Oh, you mean weekending. That's what we call it.
This is more of an Anton question. I will have to defer until he returns.
Who's Anton?
He's our chief dating protocol officer.
Oh, I have some questions for him as well.
If you would kindly lead the way to Esteban's quarters.
Yes, so we take off down a hallway and another hallway and a third hallway until we see a couple of scantily clad ladies hanging about and a scantily clad, not just ladies, hanging about. And so I'm like, we're getting closer for sure. And then we approach the door.
Mm-hmm. The door is open. There is a guard standing in the doorway. Not a Condoleezza guard, a local Felosian occupation force. You can see movement happening behind the guard / hear someone stuffing things into a suitcase. Kind of hurriedly.
I am here with the mega syphilis remedy and also the explosion vaccine that keeps people from being damaged by explosions.
Solid approach.
As you know, I am a medbot and cannot lie. Please let us in.
Give me a talk check.
Can I do an assist?
That is a 7.
Yep.
If you have like lead, you could.
I do. So that's what I was thinking about.
You have rank on this guy, but you're in different militaries. So
yeah.
But at least you're officially allied.
So I just kind of look at him, and as he's saying, you know, I cannot lie. And yeah, and I'm obviously here in an official capacity.
Okay. Just tap your rank.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, clearly.
This ain't pigeon shit up here.
Yeah, give him the old crossed arms of authority and the nod.
I didn't pin these epaulets onto this novelty airbrushed bikini.
For nothing.
T-shirt.
Oh, my God.
Would this be like charisma? Constitution?
No, that's the AG uniform.
Okay. Nine.
Nice. That's a success. That bumps you up to an eight. The guard is like, oh, I gotta get me one of them explosion vaccines.
You really do. You really should. Good. It's a safety first, soldier.
Here you go. I can administer one really quick. It is a compound known as placebinin.
He looks around like he doesn't want to get in trouble, but then he kind of steps out and pulls his sleeve up for you.
All right.
It's a saline.
It's saline with like a little bit of vitamin D to make him feel better.
Okay.
You can feel it working, can't you?
I can.
Yeah, I got mine yesterday. I feel great today.
No explosion.
Not a single explosion has happened yet. It's working.
Yeah. And then he sticks his head in the room and says, my lord, there's a Condoleezza officer and their medbot here to see you. And he waves you into the room.
We did not talk out a plan for how to approach this part.
In my opinion, that's the best way to proceed.
Yes, I'm just kind of looking at you like, okay. What now? I've never done crime before. You're in charge here.
Esteban is also
technically terrorism.
Freedom fighting, thank you. Sorry, so this room is open, and are there like lots of people
Yeah, so you walk through
around?
The open door. There are people milling around in the hallway, like people occasionally glance in, but there's no like... The guard has his back to you. He's watching the hallway.
Okay.
Esteban is hastily filling a briefcase with things he's taking with him.
Cultural artifacts.
Yeah.
From the...
Stacks of money, bags of drugs.
The Sphinx's nose.
Yeah. the Elgin marbles.
External hard drives.
Pee-wee Herman's bike.
Mm-hmm.
Viceroy to be Esteban Narances.
Yes.
I was asked to visit you, whisper mode engaged, on a delicate matter concerning megasyphilis.
Aren't you part of the New Roman delegation? There's no megasyphilis here that you didn't bring with you.
We are the only ones immune to megasyphilis.
Close the door.
Please allow me to conduct a cursory examination.
You son of a bitch.
Turn around for this one.
Okay. I'm going to ask for another talk check.
All right.
Is your talk better or is your lead better? I know you used to do lead a lot.
Lead, actually.
Okay.
Because if you're doing like doctor's orders, I could...
Yeah.
That's another good old seven.
Okay.
Can I assist again?
Yep.
Meh. I still do better on lead.
You can just be like, hey, this is the same kind of med bot we have. Well, like, you know.
It was just going to, you know, something along the lines of, I got mine yesterday. It's you'll really appreciate it. You'll feel great tomorrow.
No megasyphilis here.
I haven't blown up and I don't have megasyphilis.
Okay, what'd you get?
Six.
Okay. He doesn't turn around.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I don't need any kind of weird vaccination. I'm fine. I'm 100%.
You're 100% for now, until the spirochetes start literally dissolving your genitalia.
I've seen it in a picture. Not pretty.
Do you know what a shanker is?
We can keep playing this out, but you failed to talk to him. So. he remains unconvinced. Apparently, he's a little nervous about needles. Yeah, he shut the door because he didn't want the people outside to hear him being consulted about his megasyphilis. Even a negative result is you can't let the paparazzi
find out that you were even worried.
Yeah.
Do it. Assault him.
Navsirvan Yazid.
Present.
It appears the viceroy-to-be has the same kind of fear of medical procedures that you would normally see in small children and little boys. Perhaps I could demonstrate on you. Could you sit next to him so that he can see?
Yes, and also I'll hold your hand if you'd like.
I'm more concerned about this attack that seems to be happening. I'll consult with my doctor after this is all over.
Which are you more concerned about? The attack that is far away on a gas giant, or your genitals rotting off on your very crotch, right next to you, right now.
How can you fight a war, a potential war in the sky, with rotten genitals?
I know the talk check failed. Yeah. So I'm
you make a compelling case, but all the same.
I mean, if the door is shut,
this is the funniest failed talk check.
And you have access. You could just like stick him with something.
Well, so what I'm trying to do is get Yazid to stand next to him and get ready to grab him.
Tell you what, we'll take you down in the bunker, and we can do a full physical there.
Where is the bunker?
You can come with me when I go. And he returns to filling his suitcase.
Are you ready to depart imminently?
Just a moment. I have to pick out which magazines I want to bring.
Hey, let me see your magazines. And I just walk over next to him. Mm-hmm.
He just invited us into the bunker with him?
Mm-hmm.
Just bop him on the head.
No, let's go into the bunker. And then when we're in the bunker, we'll do it there.
I'm certainly curious about the bunker. Yeah. That's a place I've never been.
Great. In that case, there's a little more goings-on in the room, but then you depart for the underground lead-lined bunker within which your communications to the outside are shut off. So you exunt the stage, and we'll find out what happened to you later.
Son of a gun, man.
What a cliffhanger.
Jeff, that was really funny.
Thank you for listening to another amazing episode of Astronomica. We'd like to thank Jackson Seib for making the amazing music that you just heard that made it also more dramatic. And we'd also like to thank you, because without you, we would just be people in a room playing a game.
That would be so sad.
Well, no, it would be fun. But it's more fun this way.
Agreed. If you want more of this, and how could you not?
How could you not?
Impossible. Impossible. Foolishness. I invite you to visit us on our Webular site, www.astronomicapodcast.com, wherein you, fortunate one, will find a permanent and non-expiring invitation. Non-inspiring invitation to
our Discord. That's where a good chunk of us spend most of our social media engagement time, aka farting off while we're pretending to do work in our day jobs. That's where we organize community events. A lot of late summers, early falls, we try and get together in a cabin in the woods for nerd camp. And we also have a great resource on there, the Mindhive channel, where if you have a question about theory or practical tips about role-playing, and especially OSR, and especially the Sign Nominee constellation, you can come ask tips or give tips and share lots of GIFs and memes.
And then, after you've done all that, go over to iTunes or the podcast podcatcher of your choice and rate and review us, and also tell all your friends about us, and get a t-shirt and with a Sharpie write Astronomica Podcast on it until we have a merch section.
Ooh. Write our name on Sharpie in bathrooms, just everywhere you go.
Yeah, get a tattoo.
Yes.
Key our website into the paint of a cop car.
And if you are feeling particularly generous in the monetary sense, we've got a Patreon, because we're a podcast, and we've been around for more than 3 months. But no, for real, you can find us on patreon.com/astronomicapodcast. We have a lot of great stuff for you there. We've got some bonus content one-shots for you to listen to, where we play games in different systems, including Morkborg. And you can create a faction that will be in our game, so you can actually impact the game that you're listening to. And we have met PCs that our patrons have created and factions that our patrons have created. So we're not making this shit up.
Yeah, and a little synergy. Get on the Discord and tell me what I owe you. And you'll get it a lot faster.
Yes. Best way for you to get the biggest bang out of your Patreon buck is to also join our Discord and talk with us there. And just once again, a big giant thank you to everyone who has listened to us, everyone who has contributed to our crazy venture. And, you know, if you've made it this far, stay tuned for like 10 more seconds because I probably have some funny shit we said.
Yeah. Post credits. Marvel style. Excelsior.
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 I don't know. I never fucked a Furby.
No, it's, but that's the thing. It's not even mostly fuck stuff.
Yeah, well, that's in keeping with my experience, having not fucked one.
It's like making
orgasms. I want to go on record and say I've left every Furby I've ever met unfucked.
I want to say I loved every Furby I ever fucked while I was fucking it.
Nice.
Good. That means you're doing it for the right reason.
Yeah.